Would you bow with me as we turn to the Word of God and ask for inspiration? Father, we have sung together that prayer. Open my eyes that I may see. Open my ears that I may hear. Open my mouth that I may speak. And open my heart that I may believe. And so we pray, Father, that as we go to Scripture tonight, that all of those things may happen in our lives, that we may be open to the gospel, that we may be sharing that word, that we may be believing it, and that in that belief we may find the strength and the joy and the happiness that comes through Jesus Christ. So pour your blessing upon us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm going to invite your attention tonight to Galatians 5, the first 16 verses. The challenge are the first 15 verses. The challenge there then of freedom. We just came off a week of celebration of freedom, and my wife and I had a wonderful time. We had our 58th wedding anniversary. We had a little trip, and we went out to Holmes County, which is the heart of the Amish community in Ohio. And I was surprised to see that in that community where they are so blessed, there were so many rude people, not Amish people, but American people, who would go there and cut off their buggies, who would cut in front of them, who would walk in front of them, who would be very impolite. And I thought of that. You do not have the freedom to do that. And that's what this passion is talking about. So when you think about freedom, we celebrate our freedom, right? My father-in-law was just a very proud veteran. He fought in the Second World War. And when he would go to a parade together, every time a flag would go by, he would have to stand up and salute. It was just his way. In his latter years, he was getting very weak, and he couldn't stand by himself. And I would sit next to him. Every time he'd see a flag coming, he'd say, "Ron, stand me up again." And if a parade had 20 flags in it, he stood 20 times. He would salute. Our freedom in Christ is much more precious than that. So let's just read together the first 15 verses. I'm going to concentrate more on the verses 13 through 15 when I get there. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will not be any value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he's obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit of the righteous one for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single word: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So far, God's word. People of God, think about what freedom is for a moment. We have the freedom in our country to come and go wherever we want to go. We can go wherever we want. We can do whatever we want. We can be whatever we want to be. We can just go wherever we want to go. There's many countries in our world don't have that freedom. They're told what they have to do. They're told where they have to be. Nothing happens. You and I experienced a little of that, didn't we, in this last year with COVID. You couldn't go out. You couldn't go to the store. You couldn't go to school. You couldn't go to the office. You couldn't do this. You couldn't do that. And all of a sudden, we have our freedom back, right? And we're experiencing that. But one of the greatest things that comes in Scripture is not this type of just a freedom that we're experiencing, but is freedom in Christ. The chapter starts that way, for in Christ you have been made free. And then he comes with that warning, doesn't he? Don't do what they're saying. See, there was a group of people, a group of Jews that were going around and saying, the only way is to have Jesus and the law, and you have to keep the law meticulously. And so what they would do is they would say, okay, you've got to make sure that you have Jesus and circumcision. You have to have Jesus and tithing. But tithing meant that you give a tenth right to the end. And I've been the experience of that as pastors, that people would say, well, what is my portion of the church budget? And I remember one time in particular, many, many years ago, the church budget was very low, and they said it was $7.63. There were people every week put $7.63 in there, not a penny more, not a penny less, because that was their portion. And I think of what Jesus experienced when he stood by the temple gate and he watched people throwing in their offerings. And people were praising those who threw in hands full of money and say, oh, isn't that wonderful? And then come this little old lady with her four pennies and threw them in the offering plate. And Jesus said, she gave more than anybody else. And they began to laugh. That's ridiculous. A lady giving four pennies against a millionaire who gave 100,000? Doesn't make sense, does it? But Jesus said this, she gave her all, everything she had. Nothing held back. Think about freedom then. What is freedom really? I'm going to ask that question then and tell you what I think freedom is and then say what freedom is not and then talk about the warning that's there in that scripture passage. Freedom is a calling of God in your life. God called you to be free. And you and I have grown up with rules and regulations, right? In your house, you have to have rules and regulations. Otherwise, you would have problems. Kids cannot do what they want to do or just go wherever they want to go. In my family, I would hear constantly, we had five children, I would hear constantly, but my friends are doing that. Everybody's doing that. And I'd say, well, that's not a true statement. You said, everybody's doing it. Well, they are, Dad. Everybody's doing it. I said, no, they're not. That's not true. Because you're not doing it and I'm not doing it. So not everybody's doing it. That's a challenge, right? How do I allow people to see the reality that I'm free to be a calling part of God in my life and he calls me to be free? He calls me out of sin. He calls me from the destruction, the self-destruction that I have. And he calls me to be obedient to him. He calls me into that joy that I can find in walking his way. For freedom did Christ make you free. And you have been given freedom to live it for him. So what is freedom? It's a calling of God. It's what God wants you to do. It's where God wants you to be. I am free to do what God wants me to do. I'm free to go where God wants me to be. I'm free to be that person that God wants me to be. Think about that for a moment then. How does that come out in life? It's freedom is an opening to do something that I can probably no other way do it, right? As I watch my neighbors constantly, and many of my neighbors are not Christians. I live in a manufactured home park, and many people around me don't go to church. One couple goes to church. And some of them say they go to church, but they never leave the house. I think they must be doing visual church or something. At least I'll give them the doubt. But I know they don't. But I don't have the freedom to judge them, do I? I have the freedom to pray for them. I have the freedom to challenge them. I have the freedom to help them in every way I can. And as we go through life, as we go through those experiences, that freedom comes out in a joyful way, doesn't it? That I can have the joy of serving Him, that I can serve God in wherever I go and whatever I do, that I have the freedom to serve God and to let Jesus be seen in me. There are many times in life that we go through the experiences that we have. And my life has been a full life, and I've been in gospel ministry almost 55 years. So the freedom that I have is to share with other people. One of my reminders in my life happened many years ago when I was teaching Sunday school in a local community chapel before I was in college, my first year of college. And there was a little girl there, about 12 years old, who came to Sunday school every week. And we had a group of about 50 neighborhood kids that came to Sunday school in that little chapel. And one Sunday, a very hot Sunday, sunny Sunday, she went around the corner with her folks driving and went around the corner slowly, and she had her window down and she hollered, "Mr. Norman, I can't come to church today. My folks are making me go to the beach." And I felt sorry for her. It was that same little girl who about 3 weeks later was hit by a car and spent part of her life in Mary Freebed, unconscious. And I felt maybe this is God's way of using me. So I went there every Sunday afternoon and I would visit with her. I'd visit with her parents. I learned to know her mom and dad. They were good people. They just didn't go to church. And I would pray with them. I'd read scripture with them. And I would go on my way. And one of those Sundays when I went, I saw Barbie again and I talked with her mom and she said, "Pastor Ron, we want to tell you, we are so excited. Barbie's going to start walking tomorrow." And I said, "We'll pray that all goes well." The next morning, I got a call and say something went wrong and Barbie died overnight. Would you be willing to do her funeral? I'm free to witness for God. I was going to say it scared me skinny. But that's not why I got skinny. But you know, that thing, how is a 19-year-old who's hardly ever been to a funeral going to lead a funeral? But I prayed to God, "God, give me the words to say that I can comfort that family." They did not have the faith, but this little girl had a heart of gold. And as we shared the word, and later on as I got to visit them time and again, they came to know Jesus Christ and confess Him as Lord and Savior. What an awesome thing to say, "I'm free," as He answering a calling of God to share His word. "I'm free to give it away. I'm free to say this is what it's all about. But I'm not free to use it as a thing for sin." So what is not freedom? What freedom is not? Freedom is not an indulgence, as here, that you can indulge in things and say, "Well, that's really what I'm going to do. I'm just going to do it that way." It's not an open license on living your life wherever you go. It's not that type of an open license at all. It's not that challenge that goes out and says, "This is what's going to happen." And as you see that happening in life, you see people saying, "Well, this is really what it is." And freedom is not an opening to sin. It's not that thing that says, "Well, you know, you can't tell me what to do." How many times in your family don't you get into that? We were talking about that a minute ago. How many times don't your children want to tell you what they're going to do? And I think of the awesomeness, the responsibility we have. And as you're growing up as young people, you're going to find that out soon enough when God blesses you with a mate and that He gives you a family, gives you children of your own, that you become the one who has to make the decisions and say, "These are the rules of the house that God has given us, not that I developed myself." To know that awesomeness is to know the fullness that freedom is not the license that I have to do whatever I want to do or go wherever I want to be. It's not an opening for sin. Freedom is not an opening for sin. It doesn't give me the door that says, "Okay, walk through this door and do anything you want." There was a problem in the Roman church, and as Paul wrote to them, he wrote about it It was a problem that went this way. People were saying, God's grace abounds where sin abounds. That's the promise that's there. So they asked Paul this question, or Paul asked the question, should we sin more that grace may abound more? That's kind of stupid logic, isn't it? If I just keep doing more, then God's grace will be more abundant to me and more qualifying as he gives it to me, that challenge that's there every day. As you and I walk through life, as we see people doing that, we understand that fullness that's there, that challenge is there. And how many times haven't we heard, but someday I'm going to get right with God, but I just don't have time today. What about those some days that never happen? What about those times when people say, well, when I get a little more time, then I'm going to do that? It was a man and a woman that were in their later 70s, and I don't consider that very old today. But when he had something happening on the roof of their home, and he decided to go up there. And he had been visited many times by a family and invited to church, and they'd say, well, we really don't have time right now, but someday we're going to do that. And he went up on the roof of his house and didn't come in, and he didn't come down. And finally she went out there and she saw him laying up there on the roof, and she called for help, and they went up there and said, well, we're sorry to tell you, missus, but your husband died of a heart attack. Someday never came. And how many times doesn't that happen, whether we're young people or older people? That someday I'm going to be right with God. Someday I'm going to walk his way. Someday I'm going to enjoy. But the fullness of it all comes about that, you know, I need Jesus in my life every day. Freedom in Christ is not a freedom to do as I please. You hear that again in verse 13, where that challenge stands, that openness that's there. You, my brothers, were called to free, but do not use your freedom in sinful nature. Rather, serve one another out of love. So freedom is there so that I can serve other people. Freedom is there so that I can be of service to other people. There's one other thing I want to mention, what freedom really is. And freedom is freedom from the ceremonial law. Now, the ceremonial law told everybody how they had to do things exactly. They had to butchers in such a way so that when they brought the burnt offering, it was brought. They had to take the special lamb out of the flock, not the crippled one, but the good one. They had to bring that to God. They had to tithe of everything they had. And I think of that tithing in the Old Testament. What they did is they tithed the gain of everything they had in their house. And so they would go through their house and evaluate it. And then they would even bring their spice jars. And they would say to the priest, you know, here's my spice. You take a tenth of what my spices are. Well, they would tithe tooth and nail, but it was not done in faith, and they were not believing in God. It was several years ago that I ran into a person who was joining a certain church, and they believed in tithing. And they said in order to join there, they came with the elder, two elders came with a computer, and they evaluated everything they owned. They took their house, they evaluated their car, they evaluated their clothes in their closet, they evaluated their furniture. They said, this is what you're worth. And in order to join our church, a tenth of that is so-and-so. I said, well, what happens after you do that? Well, next year, we have what we would call Hausbesuch, but they had house visitation again. The same elders would come back with their computer again, and they would evaluate your stuff again and say, well, your house is worth $10,000 more, so you owe us another $1,000. If you don't pay that, you can't stay a member. That is not free giving, is it? That is living according to the letter of the law. What Paul is preaching here is the spirit of the law. Have that in you, that freedom in you, that's a freedom to do as God wants you to do, a freedom to love others. Freedom is not lovelessness. It's not callousness. It's not hating other people. It's not backbiting. It's not slander. all those things that come about. And then I want to have you hear the warning that's there at the end, because that's really the challenge. And if you continue to do this, be careful that in biting and devouring, in biting and clawing at everybody else, you yourself will be hurt, will be killed. You got to remember what Paul is talking about there. He's thinking about maybe a couple of jungle cats, a couple of lions that get into it, and they're tearing and biting and scrapping, and they continue to fight. And who's going to be the dominant one? Finally, one is killed and the other is there. He may be mortally wounded. He's got wounds all over the place. He's weak, but he slinks off, and he's the victor. But when he slinks off, he's open prey to the next powerful one there. And that's what he's talking about when he says to you and I, as you and I look at each other, if we fight, and if we bite, and if we devour each other, then we ourselves may be in a weakened condition, and we ourselves may be killed. Sometimes in churches that happens, doesn't it? There come factions that develop, or there come cliques that form. And it's that ongoing fight that happens between. One of the churches I served had two ladies' aides, and one was a ladies' aide that belonged to another church that had been there, but the church had ceased to exist 40 years before. So when I came there, one group met in the church, and the other in this little village 10 miles away met in people's homes. And I said, well, why don't you ladies come to church? Well, it's too far to go. I said, 10 miles is too far. Well, it was back then. Well, that was with horse and buggies, but you're not there anymore. And then I said, well, where do you do your shopping? Well, we go to such and such a place, which was 20 miles away. Isn't that quite a ways to go? You can't drive to church to be with your sisters in Christ for one night every 2 weeks? Well, finally, they decided they would come. And the group that was in church decided they would welcome them. So they set up the room, and 20 people showed up. 10 people sat from the church sat on this side. 10 people from the other group sat on this side, and they counted heads. And they did this for about 5 weeks. And finally, I stopped and I said, this is ridiculous. You are supposed to be sisters in Christ. And this head counting is just showing that you're not really forgiving each other for anything. And they did, very thankfully, they were able to forgive each other. They were able to mix, and they began electing leaders that were from both groups, and it was really worked out. But you and I have to watch for that, don't we? We have to make sure that in our own house, in our own spiritual house, that we aren't fighting and clawing and destroying each other. There was a church in Canada that had decided to split. It was one was a little more liberal than the other, and the more conservative group decided to leave. And they had a fight. They split about even. But one just said a little bit more, and they decided that they were going to keep the church. The other group said, no, you can't have the church. We're going to have the church. And so they decided they would each hire a lawyer, and they would let the court decide. And so the courts began to go at it, and then it would go back and forth and back and forth. This went on for 2 years. And finally, after the end of all that fighting and bickering, the two councils had to meet, and they said, you know, we have spent so much money on lawyers that we don't have any. And the other group said, well, we don't either. They sold the building, the lawyers got rich, and neither group got it. If you bite and devour, you may consume yourself. And I think that was a sad truth. But when I see that happening, I think, what must the world think of Christians who act that way? What's the testimony that we share to the world that says, this is really what it's all about? Do you know? Can you understand? Can you see the fullness of it? My freedom is not a freedom to do as I please. My freedom is to do as God wants me to do. My freedom is to be there, not biting and devouring others, but praying for them, lifting them up, holding them, encouraging them, giving them strength that they can go forward. So think of that again. For freedom did Christ set you free. Do not let your heart be held again in an unbelief. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you again for the privilege we have of seeing your freedom in our life, of knowing that joy that's ours, as we share that freedom together every day. And Father, what a joy to know the wisdom that comes through your word, that we find that strength, that we know that assurance and that blessing that's ours, that we can go forward in faith as well. We pray, Father, that if there are those differences that we have with others, that we may work at reconciliation, that we may work at having those things resolved so that Christ can be honored, and that we give a steady witness to our neighborhood and to our community of what it really means to believe in Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that you would bless us now further tonight and give us your peace and joy and blessing as we share together your love. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing together again.